Hello, welcome to the Colcast. I am your host, Chris Collins, and this is a surprise Friday podcast edition. Just wanted to do an extra one this week. Obviously, I did a bumper podcast last Sunday, included all the events. You would have noticed one major omission from the list of events that I covered from the past and upcoming. That was Bellator 209, which is happening later on this evening, early Saturday morning for the UK guys, I think. The timing on that one, I'm not too sure as it's in Tel Aviv, but yeah, I wanted to give a special short podcast for Bellator 209, just to avoid it getting buried in the big long podcast that we had last Sunday, that went just over an hour. I thought I'd spend a quick 15 to 20 minutes just going over Bellator 209, and we are being treated with a couple of golden fights on this fight card. Some big names returning for Bellator. Obviously, you've got a title fight headlining as well. So, without any further ado, let's just go straight into it. And the first fight on the main card is Mr. Baby Fedor. If none of you know who Baby Fedor is, very, very, very talented light heavyweight / heavyweight. If you have no idea what I'm going on about, I'm obviously talking about the man they otherwise call Kirill Sidelnikov. I always say that wrong. Sidelkinov. Sidelnikov. Kirill Sidelnikov. He's 11-4, I believe, in his career. I might be wrong, actually. Could be 11-5. Lost his last fight out against Sergei Pavlovich. That was over in Global. This is his first fight over in Bellator. He's making his Bellator debut. Obviously, he spent a lot of time in the Russian promotions, you know, M1 and stuff like that. But in terms of his credentials, Russia, Sambo, kind of knew I was going to go down this road. He is a Sambo star. He is a legit Sambo star, combat Sambo star. He's won multiple medals at world championships, obviously Russian gold medals, he's won European gold medals, he's as legit as it comes. It's an interesting one for him, this, because there's a lot of hype around Kirill, and the strength of his competition hasn't been great. I mean, I go back over his record now, so I'll just punch up his record quickly. Let's have a look here. So, the only guy that casuals will probably recognise is Paul Buntalo, one of his losses. Paul Buntalo, as you don't know, the former UFC veteran, you know, fought in the UFC a long, long time ago. Buntalo was in Strikeforce. He went over to promotions like Affliction, obviously that aren't really much around anymore, King of the Cage and things like that. That's the only name you'll really recognise as a casual on Krill's record, Sergei Pavlovich aside. And the Sergei Pavlovich fight, it'll tell you what you need to know, really. Lost that fight in the first round for by knockout, rather, TKO punches. He's got his limits. He's got his limitations. And it depends what Bellator really want to do with him, because he could potentially be a breakout star. For Bellator especially, they're crying out a little bit. You know, the UFC's leading the way in terms of, you know, Russian stars and everything at the moment. And Bellator really should be crying out for another Russian to sort of take over now and start to carry the flag for him. You know, another European star that they can start to promote. Obviously, they have got the Fedor in their roster as well. But, you know, you can't lean on Fedor all the time in terms of getting European fans, especially the Russians, sort of excited to see your event. So it depends really what they want to do with him. And they're giving him a perfect first opponent, really, in Adam Koresh. Adam Koresh, he's 3-0. He's Israeli fighter, obviously, fight card is packed full of talented Israeli fighters, with it being in Tel Aviv. And I don't think Adam Koresh is going to cause him too many problems, to be honest. I'd say the only name I can find out of, you know, I don't really know a lot about Adam Koresh. The only name I can find on his record is a win against Roman Kushner, and that was last year, TKO punches. He's completely unknown. I don't really know much about him, but I don't think he will have the experience or the wherewithal to really deal with Kirill very well. So if I'm going to give a prediction on this fight, it's a bit of an unknown one, you know. I'm calling out a result really unfairly that's based on just the one fighter that I know about. If I'm going to make a prediction, I will say Baby Fedor, and I think he gets it done by a lopsided unanimous decision. I think you'll see something like a 30-25 or a 30-26. I think he'll just brutalise him, basically just keep on taking him down. And I think he'll just get to work, you know, landing heavy ground and pound. And I'm going to say, you know, he makes a good Bellator debut, Sidelnikov, and he gets that lopsided decision win. So that is that one. The next fight on the card, women's featherweight fight between Olga Rubin and Cindy Dandois. Cindy Dandois, you may know as a name, again, who's fought across quite a few different promotions. Obviously has been in the UFC before, albeit only for one fight that she lost against Alexis Davis. That was, I want to say, probably roughly about 2 years ago. Cindy Dandois, she's a real veteran. She, you know, she's fought a lot of talented girls. She beat Megan Anderson once upon a time in Invicta a few years ago. She's fought Tonya Evinger. She's for Kunitskaya, she's for Jessamyn Duke, Sheila Graff, if you remember Sheila Graff, another former UFC bantamweight. She's been there, she's done that, she's got a decent record. Obviously she's 12-3 now, and I think Cindy Dandois will get this done again by decision, to be honest. She's not really a standout. She's not the most super talented women's fighter of all time, but she's very good at everything. She's very economical at everything. She's a decent striker, decent submissions, decent on the ground, you know, decent standing up, decent distancing, decent control. She's never really done anything, like I say, outstanding in her career, but she's got some very, very good wins on a record, and I think this one will be another decision, to be honest. Olga Rubin, I know she's got some decent wins on her record. Has got power, you know, quite a few knockouts on her record as well. Magalhães was Joanna Felipa Magalhães was a particularly nasty one. TKO punches. There's not really much to write home about again with Olga Rubin. She's very unextraordinary, but I think this one just comes down to the experience, to be honest. Cindy Dandois definitely has more experience than Olga Rubin, and I think she's going to use that to her advantage. I think you see another decision. Maybe not as lopsided as the first fight predicted, but I think you see something, you know, a 30-27, maybe a 29-28. Maybe Olga could nip one of the rounds, but I'd be very surprised if Olga's able to outclass Cindy Dandois in any way at all. It should be a fairly straightforward decision win for Cindy Dandois. At light heavyweight, the third fight down on the card, you have Vadim Nemkov against Phil Davis, Mr. Wonderful. I will start with Vadim Nemkov first. So obviously another Russian guy, another standout Sambo star, world championships on his record again. And he's damn good, Nemkov. He's very good. He's coming out party, you know, was his last fight in February. He's a very talented Brit, Liam McGeary. Obviously the British fight fans will know Liam McGeary very well, former champion in Bellator, and you know, that was his coming out party. Brutalized Liam's legs with leg kicks and ended up picking up the TKO in the third round there. This is another step up again, though. You know, Phil Davis is, we all know Mr. Wonderful Phil Davis, former UFC veteran, and he's looked fantastic ever since he's come over to Bellator. Obviously, you know, he submitted Emmanuel Newton when he came over, knocked out Francis Carmo. If you remember that fight, that was a vicious knockout. He's beat Liam McGeary again, another one who beat Liam McGeary, and that was a dominant decision. Mo Lawal, he knocked out Linton Vassell in his last fight with a vicious head kick. That was doing the rounds on social media for a long time, you know, and it was surprising, really. You don't see Phil Davis knocking people out like that. You usually see Phil Davis, you know, taking guys down with his brilliant wrestling and either outworking them on the ground, landing ground and pound, or you know, grabbing a submission here and there. You know, he's got nasty kimuras especially, but it just shows how much better he's getting all the time. You forget about Phil Davis and just how good he is, and for him to be knocking people out at this stage of his career, it just shows like he's still getting better. Even getting on to, you know, 25 fights now that he's nearly on, it really was a vicious knockout. And to land it against someone, against Linton Vassell, you know, Linton Vassell, again, super talented British fighter, and it just shows how goddamn good Phil Davis is. And I think Phil Davis is going to maul Nemkov here. I will say, I think Nemkov's Sambo background is going to give him just enough on the ground to defend against the bad positions and defend against submission attempts. But I think you're going to see another lopsided decision here. You know, another 30-25, 30-26 or something like that. Nemkov is very good. Phil Davis is just better. That's as simple as I can put it, really. The co-main event of the evening is Haim Ghazali. Another name, sorry, I struggle to pronounce. It is very early in the morning here on a Friday. Against Ryan Couture. Start with Haim Ghazali first. Obviously, Israeli fighter. Has the distinction of being probably one of the oldest, if not the oldest, Bellator fighter. I think he's 44 or 45 or somewhere around that mark. But very accomplished submission grappler, and has actually fought Ryan Couture before. If you followed Ghazali's career at all, you know that these guys fought last year. Ryan Couture obviously picking up a unanimous decision. Ever since then, he won his next fight against Arsen Fajtovic. I don't know much about Arsen Fajtovic, but it was a very good submission triangle choke there. Bellator 188, and then he lost his last fight against Jose Campos. The one thing that you can say about Ghazali is, you know, he's tough. He's not easy to finish, and Ryan Couture's not, you know, he's not someone that you look at and you think, oh god, he's got like loads of power, or oh god, like he's like bleeding amazing with submissions. I think you're going to see another decision, to be honest. I think you'll see a similar fight to their last fight last year. You know, you look at Ryan Couture's record. The reason why this fight's coming about again is it's not just Ghazali coming off a loss. Obviously, Ryan Couture had that bad knockout loss against Sadawad earlier this year. And before that, obviously, the Ghazali fight was before that. And looking at Ryan Couture's career, you know, he's beaten decent opponents, but then when he comes up against the elite guys, you know, that's where he's losing badly. Obviously Patrick Ferrer, that was a bad loss for him. You go back to his UFC days, you know, he was beaten badly by Ross Pearson. Al Iaquinta, he lost that fight, although, you know, he did push Al to a decision. The one big win in his career, I'd argue, was KJ Nunes. But again, this is KJ Nunes on the back nine of his career. It was a very unremarkable sort of decision a long, long time ago now. He's, like I say, he's picked up decent wins, but when it comes up against anyone who's a step up, he tends to be not back to the start of the line, really, Ryan Couture. Having said that, though, you know, Ghazali's not an elite fighter by any means, as accomplished as he is a grappler. I think Ryan Couture, you know, he has decent enough wrestling. Younger, fresher fighter, although not by much. Deep into his 30s now, Ryan Couture, but he's got the experience, he's got the wherewithal, he's got the confidence of knowing that he's beaten Ghazali before, and I think you're going to see another decision victory here. 30-27, I'll say. I don't think Ghazali's going to give him many problems at all, if any, so Ryan Couture picks up the win there for me. And that's on to our co-main event, rather, and that's on to our main event now. So in the main event of the evening, you've got Emmanuel Sanchez challenging Patricio Ferreira for the featherweight title. Emmanuel Sanchez is the animal that no one's talking about. So, you know, the easiest way to put this is, if you take out a Pat Curran decision, which was a close fight, and a Daniel Weichel decision, which was a super, super, super close fight, he is now on a 9-fight win streak. If he wins those two fights, he's on a 9-fight win streak. You take those losses out, the 7 wins sandwiched in there, and they're against good, good guys. You're talking the likes of, you know, Daniel Pineda, Georgie Karakarnian, Marcus Galvao, Sam Cecilia in his last fight, brilliant arm triangle choke that he won that fight by. Daniel Strauss, you know, Daniel Strauss is he's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant featherweight. Won that fight by triangle choke. You know, he's on the up. He's on the up, Emmanuel Sanchez. And the question is going to be, is this going to be too much of a step up for him? You can make the argument that he's, you know, he's lost against the elite fighters that he's faced, but I'd argue that Karakanyan is an elite fighter. I'd argue that Strauss is definitely an elite fighter. The question is going to be, is he ready for this fight? And this fight, you know, is undoubtedly a step up again. Of course it is. You know, Patricio's an animal. Everyone knows about Patricio. He's been a Bellator staple and standout for a long, long time. He's picked up fantastic wins in his career. You know, he's beaten Pat Curran. He's beaten Strauss, like I mentioned with Sanchez. He's beaten Weichel. He's beaten Corrales. Diego Nunes. You're talking back in his career. You know, he's built Wilson Hayes when Wilson Hayes was fighting a bit heavier, and he's beaten the best of the best, Patricio. The thing that throws this into a bit of unsureness with me is, how's Patricio going to look? You know, is Sanchez ready for this? Is he ready for the step up? And how's Patricio going to look? The answer to the first question, Sanchez, is he ready for the step up? I believe so, yes. He's got to a point in his career now where, you know, he's not just beating good guys, but he's starting to finish fights. The Strauss victory at Bellator 184 is the one recently that's really impressed me with Sanchez. You know, Strauss is, I can't say it enough, he is an elite guy over there at Bellator. Super, super talented Strauss. He's beaten a lot of top fighters, and I think the fact that Sanchez is finishing guys now, I think that'll give him a lot of confidence for this. Sam Cecilia, I know Sam Cecilia is not one of the best guys in the world, but, you know, he's game, he's tough, and to finish Sam Cecilia in the fashion that he did in his last fight as well, you know, it speaks volumes. I think he really is ready for this step up. Like I say, I think his confidence will be high, and I think that might be the difference in this fight. You know, Patricio, arguably the worst out of the Ferreira brothers, not like saying that by much, he's fought on anyone and everyone, but I just think, I have a feeling in my waters that Sanchez is going to get this done, and I think, again, just to round out the whole card with decisions, I think he's going to get this done by a super, super close decision. I think you'll see a back and forth fight. I think a lot of it will be contested on the ground, and I think that's where it's going to be won and lost for me. I think the stand-up, rather, is where it's going to be won and lost for me. I think you're going to see these guys on the ground for a lot of the fight, swapping positions, attacking, defending, reversing positions. I think you'll see a lot of scrambles. I think you'll see a bit of a deadlock on the ground. And then on the feet, I just think that Sanchez will have just enough to outpoint Patricio just for a couple of rounds. And I think that's what's going to get him the decision. I'm seeing 48-47, maybe. I do think it's going to be a super, super close fight. It's one of those weird ones where I wouldn't be surprised if Sanchez won by close decision. I wouldn't be surprised if Patricio won by close decision. If there was a stoppage, though, I don't think it'll be Sanchez. I think it'll be Patricio. I think Patricio, throughout his career, has just finished. When he's finished fights, he's finished it against elite guys. He's got an awful lot of finishes on his record, and I don't think Sanchez has enough about him to be able to finish Patricio. I think if he's going to do this, it's going to be a very, very close decision, like I say. So I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to put my neck on a chopping block. I'm going to say 48-47 Sanchez, and you see a new champion at 145 in Bellator. And that's the way that fight ends. And that rounds off my very, very short special edition podcast for this week, just going over Bellator 209. I will, of course, recap Bellator 209 as well as some of the other events this weekend when I do my next podcast, which will be available on Sunday night / Monday morning, ready for all you guys to listen to on the commute to work or the commute to wherever you go to on a Monday morning, if you're luckier than me and you don't have a 9-to-5 job to contend with as well. That is it from me this week. I am your host, Chris Collins, and I will speak to you on Sunday evening, Monday morning. Goodbye.